for the phone call from Bono, and it has just come through. Bono's on the line. Good morning to you, sir.
Good morning to you, Simon. How are you?
I'm fine. Thank you very much indeed for calling. I want to say congratulations, first of all, on the arrival of Jordan.
Yeah, I got a little girl now. Nice birthday present.
On your 29th birthday, it was remarkable timing.
Yeah, well, I had to get my way on my birthday.
And how are you taking to being a dad?
Well, I don't know. I'm not even very good to look after myself. The idea of looking after somebody else is, you know, this little girl, I haven't quite got used to it. It's a whole new thing for me. I think it'll turn my life upside down, but I think that's a good thing.
Yeah.
I mean, being a songwriter and being in a band is a very, very selfish kind of lifestyle. I suppose I'm going to have to think about three people now instead of two. But, you know, I think, you know, maybe people have the idea that I'm going to settle down or something now that I have a baby or anything. Mm. I think rather the opposite will happen. I think I'll become more angry, you know, I'll be more angry. You know, I can settle down in one sense because Jordan has a wonderful mother who's very sane and very together and all the things I'm not. But I'm heading the other direction. I'm getting more and more carried away with the rock and roll music that you two are making. And that's the best compliment I can pay my daughter, is that I just don't get all discontent and laid back on her. I don't think that's what she'd want.
Where did you get the name Jordan from?
Well, I like to be beside the sea, or I have a house on the sea.
Yeah.
And I wanted to call the house down by Jordan, and I was talked out of it, but this name Jordan was just stuck in my head.
Right.
And it's an Old Testament name. It's an eternal name. And I'll probably spend the rest of my life running after the little lady, so we called her Jordan, there you are.
Okay, now to business, and the single All I Want Is You is out in a couple of days in the UK. The fourth single from Rattlin' Home, did you always intend this to be a single, or did you think, well, let people get used to the other singles first, or what? What was your thinking on the track?
Well, we're not very good at singles generally. We're more, I suppose, an LP band, but we've been trying to hone down our songwriting over the last few years and getting excited about the idea of a single. And Desire was number one, and Angel of Harlem and When Love Comes to Town, they seemed to go as singles, but they were kind of more up-tempo, aggressive rock and roll. This is a slow song, and they tell me it's because of that it's more chance of being a hit record, though we didn't write it that way. To us, it's just a beautiful melodic song.
I was watching the video yesterday, and I have to say, it is, well, it's intriguing and different, to say the least, isn't it?
Yes.
Apparently it's based on an old black and white film called La Strada, is that correct?
Yeah, it's a Fellini film. We wanted to make almost a silent movie to go alongside the song, rather than explaining the song, rather than just making the usual video where we sort of stand at the top of a mountain and, you know, perform the song. We wanted to just find a different way, and this silent movie idea came to us, and it's a parallel story set in a circus. It is a little bizarre, and I think it worked, actually. I really do think it worked.
You said it's like a love story between a couple of the people in the circus. Can I ask you, although it hasn't been on television over here, so people certainly can't get hold of a copy, but they'll understand this question once they've seen it. Could you tell me who dies at the end of it?
No.
Oh, that seems fair enough. I thought you'd probably say...
We all die. All the members of the band die. No, I hope it's going to be played in its full length over in the UK. I think Channel 4 are going to run it once. On June the 12th or something, but I hope the BBC play it in its full length. It is a story. It really is a story. It's not just the usual collage of images, which most of our videos have been recently. It is a story, and it's a bizarre love story.
Okay, let's play it. This is the record of the week this week. You Too, and All I Want Is You. And that's the record of the week this week. All I Want Is You from U2, and Bono is still on the line. Now, as soon as I did suggest that you were going to be on the program today, being inundated with people saying, please will you ask Bono when he's going to be back in the UK doing tours. Now, Australia and the Far East have been planned, as I understand it, starting in the autumn, sort of September time?
That's right, yeah.
And do you have any idea at all when you'll be doing some gigs over here?
I don't know. The band and myself have been talking about the way we want to tour in the future. And we want to play a lot, but we don't want to do these long world tours which wear everybody down and you're just ready for the hospital by the end of a year playing different cities every night. So I think in and out of recording, we're just going to play when and where we feel like. And we haven't been to Australia for many years and Japan, so we're going over there. In the new year, we may just turn up and play a week or two of shows in the UK. It's kind of an important audience for us. I mean, we came out of these islands, and people talk a lot about U2 and America, but that's not where we've come from. We're fascinated by America, but we come from over here, and it's important that we still have that rock and roll audience.
David Bowie on his Tin Machine tour is going back to playing sort of virtually for him small clubs.
Mm-hmm.
When you say you're going to come over, just choose what you're going to play and where you're going to play it. Are you still going to stick to the large stadiums, or is there any chance you might turn up at a smaller venue?
Yeah, I think the music we made in the past really suited being outdoors. It was, the music had no roof on it, as it were. You know, it was just big music.
Mm.
On the last record, on Rattlin' Home, we've been making more sort of dirty rock and roll music, really kind of more intended for indoors and smaller venues. So I hope we can play some smaller venues on the next time through.
So you're looking for some dirty rock and roll venues then?
Yeah, well, we had enough of them in the early days, traveling up and down the M1 in our VW van. I was glad to get out of them, but now it's funny, you know, you want to go back there. It's mad. That's the way it is.
I remember when you did a Radio 1 special last year talking to Roger Scott and Annie Nightingale, someone suggested that you do a Radio 1 session.
Yeah, we're going to do that.
Are you?
Yep.
Do you know the details of that, or?
Nope.
Do you fancy doing a live one?
A live session.
A live session on The Breakfast Show sounds
good
idea.
Could be the end of U2 as we know it, but we might be, you know, we could be talked into that. But if people heard what we're actually, when we're writing songs, we're very untogether. We're all over the place. It takes us about a month on the road before we're any good. You know, we're a live band, and it's everything to us. But in the early stages of getting songs together, we're all over the place.
But I'd
risk it for the biscuit, as the man said.
Well, we'll keep our fingers crossed on a live U2 session on Radio 1. That would be fun. We basically keep in touch with what the band are doing via propaganda. You know, like the official U2 magazine. But have you seen all the fanzines that are cropping up? We keep being sent Prattle and Fun. The first issue came with a free Edge tea bag.
Well, I wish that the U2 audience weren't so smart. But they are. They're smart, and there's some great fanzines that take the piss out of the band, and I love them. Clayton has his own fanzine just dedicated to him.
Right.
And they just seem to know everything about him. They have all his kind of quirks right down. And there's, I think it's called A Distinctly Alternative Magazine. Adam, that's what it's called.
That's a fabulous stuff. But you basically approve of all of these.
Oh, yeah. You know, it's important, really, to have... I mean, our audience know exactly where we're at. That's the funny thing. The real U2 audience know our commitment is to the music, and they know we're actually not very good at being pop stars.
Just before we go, Bono, we're just going to play one of the B-sides from the 12-inch, Everlasting Love. Now, I remember this when it was a classic from The Love Affair. You obviously were in love with it, too.
Yeah, well, I found it funny, you know. It's just beautiful melody. And, again, these B-sides, most U2 singles are EPs, but we don't advertise them like that. And it's just something between us and again, that audience, that real U2 audience I told you about. And I think there's Unchained Melody on this and Everlasting Love, and they're both again, odd, to me, odd love songs, and it seems fitting to have them on the back of All I Want Is You.
Great, well, we'll play that now. Bono, thank you very much indeed for phoning us, and we certainly do hope that you'll be turning up, playing somewhere, who knows where, very shortly.
God bless you, Simon. See you around.
Thank you, Bono. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
This is, therefore, a track on the B-side of the 12-inch. You two had Everlasting Love.